Mobile.
KX, N4ZLK Mobile. ZLK clear.
ZLK, K4XB.
B, N4ZLK. Hey, Tommy.
No clue what you were trying to tell me yesterday. I'm actually on the secondary radio right now, and I think there may be some hum from a speaker going on in here. But I don't know what you were trying to tell me yesterday. K4XB.
I was telling you your signal was perfect into the repeater, and I tried to respond to you the first time you sent your call out, and I thought maybe you had gone away. I guess you haven't figured out what the issue is yet.
I have Starlink internet, and recently the direction that it's pointed changed. And I know that when I put it up, I knew that it was close to the Starlink dish is close to the 2-meter antenna. And I'm thinking that has to be something to do with that, because I have cabling run about 6 foot apart. And that didn't change, so there's just the position of the dish changed. So that's all I can figure. I don't know. I know I can turn Starlink off completely, and I can receive as, you know, really, really clear as it was weeks ago, but I may have to just move the antenna. This antenna's actually up in the attic. Instead of being outside, am I coming through okay with it? K4XB.
But other than that, it sounds good, other than the little hum in the background. But yeah, and if you turn the internet off and you could receive again, that sounds like that's probably what it is. But your transmission was perfect. You had perfectly clear signal on the other radio. I think that's what I was trying to tell you last night.
Nuts, because I thought I was getting out pretty good, but I mean, I could not understand anything anybody was saying, and I tried playing with it, putting some cores on the ends of the cables and coiling some cables up, and just tried all kinds of stuff, and it wasn't helping at all. It may have made it worse. So anyhow, I do appreciate you coming back to me. Heard you in there just now, and was in my secondary location in a little workroom I have, and that's where my antennas run up from there to the secondary antenna. But I may try to run it through the wall. It's actually, my shack's on the other side of this wall, so I may poke it back through the wall and use the secondary antenna until I can get everything figured out. Anyhow, appreciate it, sir. Be careful out there. 73 N4ZLK K4XB.
Chuck, I hope you get that all figured out, and we'll talk to you later. K4XB, N4ZLK Mobile.
N4ZLK KRA tomorrow. What is Starlink? Is that kind of new, or what's that?
That's your name. This is Shane here. I'm pretty sure Starlink is that Elon Musk's satellite internet. I think that's what that is. I could be mistaken, but I think that's what that is.
That is too. I don't see them. I was curious the other night to see what frequencies they use, and they're all, I think the lowest one was around KU band, around 11 or 12 gigahertz. And everything else is way up there, like 50, 60 gigahertz.
Tommy, how he liked it and how it worked, but I think he had to go there. So, I don't know much about it other than just heard about it. And I've seen, I got a cousin that took some pictures of them, of the satellites when they were going over England. He's got a observatory. He just took it with a regular camera. But he's always out looking at the night sky, so that's probably why he caught him.
It's totally different frequencies, which is why I can't figure out what's going on. It shouldn't be interfering with it, but I think it may have something to do with proximity of the antenna and the dish. But other than that, love it. I'm getting 150, 160, 180 on download speeds, 15, 20 on upload speeds. and living out here with nothing else, it makes it a whole lot easier to work from home. I can do Teams calls without any problem. So I really, really like it. KF4XB.
I need to check into that. We kind of live out too. I've had good service with who I have now, but you never know. Of course, I might have too many trees in the way. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Steve.
Here, and it's a coaxial cable comes up to the house. Somewhere there's a fiber, and I'm supposedly paying for 300 megabit per second downloads, and I think only 10 or 20 up. I don't know what it is. But I'm paying almost, I think, $85. It went up $5. I'm paying $85 a month now for that. So that's the thing I'm wondering is if Starlink is less, maybe switch to that. Because I don't need 300 anyway.
Well, I think ours is 110 or 115, something like that. And it's expensive, but it's better than the alternative, which is LTE when I'm getting 15 or 20 down and one up. So Starlink has definitely been a game changer for K4XB.
I think I'll stick with mine. I pay about 65, I believe. And I don't work from home, so we can stream anything we want. In fact, we don't even have regular TV anymore or cable. We just stream everything. Don't watch a lot. And when we do stream, it seems to work out. Go ahead. And KR8MR N4ZLK.
Okay, what's your first name? And you were right. The first name here is Steve. I think I'm going to maybe get on the net tonight when it pops up at 9 o'clock again. I just totally lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Shane, and are you on your Anytone handheld you're on earlier?
I'm on Anytone right now. How's that sound?
Earlier you were very clear and full quieting, but you must have changed positions because it got a little more white noise and kind of fading in and out a little bit. We can copy you, or I can copy you, but it's not as strong as it was earlier.
I'm just trying to listen to the repeaters, to the weather stations around here. If you just move it like 2 or 3 feet, that's enough to lose them. And one of them's right on Parrish Mountain. Let me go on my other radio.
Talk for a little bit. N4ZLK Mobile.
N4ZLK KR8MR.
Not critical, but I was going to say this about your other one. Your mic gain might be up a little bit high on that one. It almost distorts it. You're very strong on the audio, so you might, if you can back down your mic gain, you might be able to do that. That might help your signal out a little bit.
That's because we were messing with that the other night. There's an analog mic gain and a digital mic gain. I got them both set the same, and everybody that's in my digital group, they all like where we got the mic gain for the digital side set the same around 3. I think it goes to 5 on that radio, and I probably got it on 3 or 4. So thank you. I can turn that down. Where are you at roughly now? I'll see if I can get you on the input.
I'm northbound, just went under Woodruff Road, coming up to Pelham Road, headed up to Spartanburg.
I can't copy you. I can tell you're there in picket fencing as you go. How many watts you got going? About 50?
15 watts, low power on this radio. I think high power is around 65. I've never checked it, but I think that's the way they came set, 15 and 65.
I've got a meter that it didn't make the trip down here 10 years ago from Cincinnati. Actually, I put a new meter in it. I just got a new meter, and I put that in there, but I don't think it's calibrated proper, so I don't know what this 706 does. I know it ain't any 100 watts like it is on HF. It's probably more like 40 or 50. You can set the numbers anywhere from 1 to high, 1 to 10 or something like that.
Does it give you a readout of the actual power? Like, I've got a radio that as you turn the dial, it shows from, it starts at 5 and goes on up to 50 watts or 100 watts on HF. But it actually gives you the number instead of just a number setting.
No, there's a meter on here. I can change meters. It might make a difference. I've got a Mighty Fine Junk SWR watt meter that I could connect up to it and see what it's doing. I don't know if it's calibrated. I had to put a new meter in there because the other meter got banged around enough that the needles got stuck. So I don't know if this thing's any good or not, really.
Your work around here, you really don't need a lot of power unless you're either far down or, I mean, I usually just leave it on low power, go all the way down into Georgia, and occasionally I'll turn it up if I get down pretty far, but usually the 15 watts will cover me almost everywhere I want to go here in the upstate.
Yeah, I'm on a Cushcraft AR-270. It's 20 feet up in the backyard right now. And I don't know what this meter is trying to tell me. It's all the way up. Let me see if I can turn the power down while I'm talking here. Turn it down to about 3. And then, oh, yeah, okay. I don't know what this thing, the meter is the same as the numbers that display when you're setting the RF power. It just goes from 0 to 10, so I don't know what the units are.
What's anything on the repeater output? So you're still making the repeater perfectly good, whatever you lowered it down to. Of course, the repeater is going to sound the same on the output, but you didn't have any trouble making the repeater when you lowered the power down.
Around here, I got it as low as it'll go right now.
In fact, the audio actually might have backed off just a little bit, but I am mobile in a truck, so. But you might want to when you get a chance, check that microphone gain. I think it's a little bit too high.
We're on the other one.
Radios again.
I'm on the 706 right now, and I turned it all the way down as low as it'll go. It's the power out.
Earlier, I'm not sure what radio you were on, but your microphone gain was pretty hot, almost distorting your voice. So, like you had the microphone right up against your lips, either one, I'm not sure. But it sounds pretty good now.
I don't usually get any complaints on the 706. I like to do HF on it. I've got a Cushcraft, I'm sorry, what is it? I've got a Butternut HF6V. It's a vertical, it's 28 feet, and it does 6 bands. And just recently I put a dipole up to get one of the work bands around 18 megahertz, but I haven't had real good success with that dipole.
One wire up right now. Supposed to be an all band. It's basically a 20 meter dipole, and it's fed with ladder line. Somebody gave it to me. It was brand new in a bag, and I don't remember. I didn't see a name on it or where it came from. But I can work all of 20 meters without a tuner, but I can also work everything else with a tuner except for 80 meters. It's too short for 80. And right now, it's doing so well, I haven't bothered to put up anything else yet. I've got an 80-meter dipole, and I've got a 10 through 40 vertical that I'd like to put up at some point. But so far, I'm just... Since it's up and it's working, I just haven't done anything else yet.
The other night, he was telling me that he was looking at my backyard on satellite. I guess he looked me up on QRZ, and so he real quick popped my address in there. And he's some of the trees are Leylands, as in Leylands. But I do have two or three like oak trees, and if I ran a whole lot of coax out into my backyard, then I could get to the center of maybe an 80-meter dipole, which is something I thought about doing. I'm thinking about moving. We've been here for 10 years, so I don't think I'm going to make too many changes. I got enough junk in the backyard now, I got a TVRO, had a hobby, such that I've got a 10-foot dish that does C-band, and luckily the 5G people ain't come over and messed with that yet, because 5G is moving into C-band. I don't know if you knew that or not. They took over 3/5 of our 3.7 to 4.2. Right now it's only 4 to 4.2 because of 5G. So if that 5G gets near me, I'm going to have to put some waveguide filters in. And at that point, I might have to get out of that hobby. But the other half of the hobby is Ku-band 1-meter satellite dish. They both got motors on them. Mainly, I leave the Ku dish pointing at the 87-degree satellite. And there's ABC's got a MUX on there that's got 7 channels. They're all high-definition channels. Typically, they just leave them on like a tower cam with the station call sign up in the corner. So, like, you know, you'll see WABC and W whatever, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast and St. Louis and all over the country. They just at random you'll see different stations will be up. Like when that football player hurt himself in Cincinnati, then they had a Cincinnati station up for a while. WKRC channel 12. ABC, while they were hanging out outside the hospital waiting to find out about that guy's condition. And then lately, for some reason, they got channel 5 on there now, WLWT. And I always thought they were never ABC or CBS. I think they were NBC, actually, and Hearst. So I don't know what's going on, if Channel 5's got visions of becoming an ABC station or what, but they're on there now.
Band 4 ZLK. I'm not really sure what your what all that is. Is it actual video from stations that you're getting, or just images from a tower? I'm sorry, I hadn't heard anything about that.
Free to air or FTA satellite. You can look it up on Rick's Satellite Club on the web, and there's another thing called Satellite Guys. You just, most people just go out and they spend $300 and they get about a 1-meter dish with a KU band low noise block converter with a feed horn, and then that block converts everything down to S band. And then for about $35, you can get a really decent receiver. There's a company out of Canada, they've been selling receivers that actually have all the encryption figured out and built in. So a lot of these things that are scrambled, you can unscramble them, and which ain't real legal, I don't guess, but that guy's been getting away with it for years now and selling these things. And, I mean, he's selling them with the encryption keys built in, which is like you can't beat that for $35. And the 10-foot dish, what's fun about that is like when Dancing with the Stars is on Monday nights, my wife likes that, and so we'll watch that together sometimes. And you can see it from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on when they're practicing, when they're rehearsing, and they're also, some things are not live, and they'll tape them ahead of time, so you can kind of see things ahead of time. And it used to be pretty cool, you could see what was going on during the commercials, but now that they've switched over to Disney, they encrypted it, which that was an easy one to break. It's BIS encryption. They've encrypted it, and they don't have any such thing as commercials. So you see the show pretty much what everybody else sees on TV. So C-band tends to have a lot of things that are already produced on there, whereas Ku-band has the satellite truck parked out by the train wreck or the plane wreck or the forest fire or that kind of stuff. It's all random. You don't know what you're going to see. And a lot of times it's a guess. You know, like right now, if I saw something and it was still light outside, I'd say, well, at least I know it's out on the West Coast somewhere. But, you know, you don't know what's going on. Like right now, I've been seeing a lot of nasty rainy weather with palm trees on the coast. And I think that's probably, if I had to guess, that's California. But I don't know for sure because they don't always put the station call sign up there. KR8MR for ID.
LK Mobile. Okay. I think I understand now. Now, is this a lot of this stuff the actual satellite feed that the different stations around the country pick up and then they work from there? And it's just something you're able to tap into because you got the right equipment?
And what's nice about it is you can see things before they get edited. So if you don't like the politics of the station that you're watching, then at least you get to see what the guy really said and not what they edited out and wanted you to hear.
I knew there was probably a way. I mean, it didn't really interest me, but, you know, everything is satellite. You know, the satellite feed, a lot of the national radio programs are satellite feed. So I knew that was out there. I just never thought about the process of, not hacking into it, but actually having the equipment that you can, read it as well as the stations that it's being transmitted to.
Now, with the advent of 5G, that's another way that 5G is kind of busting into the hobby. I mean, you can, if I was really big into sports, I'd like this hobby a lot more because there's a lot of basketball games. There's a lot of college basketball that's sent over the air unencrypted. And any football or baseball game that comes out of a stadium that doesn't already have fiber on it, you can watch them, which that's getting to be few and far between. But the thing that's killing it now is 5G, because anybody with a 5G phone, I think they've got a little bit extra equipment that they hook onto their phone, I don't know. But there's a way they can get on a 5G tower with a high-definition camera, and they don't need a satellite truck. So that's kind of gradually putting the satellite trucks out of business.
Well, technology is there's always something that comes along to replace what's there now.
We were watching all five of those Star Trek movies over the holidays, and one of them, I think it's the one that Spock goes away in, he had he was kind of like a prophet, you know. He was in his room, and somebody was asking him about a picture or something that he had on his wall on the Enterprise, and he said, they said, like, what's that photo? Why do you have that picture there or that statue or artwork? And he said, it's there to remind me that all things have an end.
Truth in that. That is for sure. We've seen a lot of things come to an end. I've seen a lot of things come to an end in my relatively short 52 years.
The harder you look at that kind of stuff, too. The thing that scares me the latest data is that mortality table. I don't like looking at that because if that thing's right, it says that half of us are going to be gone when I'm 75, and I got less than 10 years to go. We were down here 10 years. We've been here 10 years. We moved here from Cincinnati in 2013, and we didn't expect to have to raise our grandchildren, but we did. And the kids got them back now. That was a fast 10 years. So if you look at how fast that went, and then you start thinking, like, you know, I'm not going to want to stay here for the rest of my life. She's either going to go to Florida or Tennessee or who knows where. So that's kind of got me stressed out because I'm going to have to take a 10-foot dish down and a bunch of other antennas down and all this. I just don't like boxing stuff up and packing, you know. The smartest thing we learned when we moved here was if you're going to make a big move like that, get rid of as much stuff as you can and you don't have to move it.
Across town 5 years ago from Simpsonville up to Cleveland, north of Traveler's Rest, and we did the same thing. We pared way down. It still felt like we had too much. It's amazing how much stuff you put in storage or you put up in the closet. You forget about. You think you're going to need it, and then you forget about it, and then you go to move, and you're like, man, I guess I didn't need this stuff. Should have thrown it away a long time ago.
I'm glad I didn't throw away. My dad worked at Baldwin Piano for 30 years. He was a chief engineer, engineering manager, and organ engineering manager. He led a group of about 40 people, and they designed church organs for Baldwin Piano. And Uncle Dick was an electrical engineer also. He led a group of people that designed spinet organs, which are the little organs like you'd see in people's living rooms prior to the 80s when Atari and Nintendo and all that started taking away from the entertainment dollar. And so they became a holding company. They had all kinds of people under their umbrella. They had Gretsch guitars and drums and custom amplifiers, and I can't name all the companies that they owned. And so they were getting into the guitar business, and he brought home a guitar one day. It was a nylon-stringed Baldwin acoustic guitar, and it had a Baldwin patented, the guy who worked for my dad designed it. It was a Prismatone. It's a ceramic pickup. It was kind of like a piezo device. So it needs a bias. You have to put 28 volts out on it to make it work. But anyway, Willie Nelson saw this thing back in the 60s, and he took that pickup and he put it on a Martin guitar. And if you look at his guitar, he named his guitar Trigger, like Hi-Ho Silver, you know. And his guitar is so beat up now, I doubt if it works. It's actually got holes ripped in it where his pick guard ought to be. And he still likes to take it out on stage and play it just because it's so beat up. And I don't think his luthier can get it to work anymore. Anyway, my guitar got all beat up over the years, and finally the neck broke. So I took the pickup off of it, and it's been in my junk box out there for a long time. I just brought it in the house here a few months ago, less than a few months ago. And I was looking it up on the web and looking up the history of it all and everything. And people are selling it on a place called Reverb.com. Let me let go a minute.
JCA. 10-4, is that okay? Good to hear you guys tonight. Go ahead, let's see, Steve.
Anyway, just to make a long story short, this pickup, I saw a guy was selling it for something like $2,800 on Reverb.com, and he had 300 lookers, and it had been on sale for about a couple months. So I put mine on there on a Thursday night for $2,400. And at 10:30 on Friday, I got an email through Reverb from this guy who's Willie Nelson's luthier in Austin, Texas. He offered me $1,500 for it. And we thought about countering it, and I had 12 hours to make up my mind, and I just quickly said, no, we'll accept his offer. And I sent that down to Austin, and it sounds like he's having trouble getting Willie's guitar to work right now, because he said something like, if or unless or until we can get that to work, it's looking like he's got another guitar, and he's calling it Trigger Roman Numeral 2. He's going to put my pickup on there, and I'd be willing to bet you next time Willie plays, he'll be playing a guitar with my pickup on it, and we got a new couch right now.
Sorry. Yeah, you just never know what's going to be somebody's going to want out of your own junk someday. Not that that was junk, but that's a cool story. But I got to run. I'm about where I'm going up here in Spartanburg. Enjoyed the conversation. Good to meet you. I hope you have a good evening. And Sally and Richard, hello. I'll talk to you guys later. I'll be back in the truck in about 20, 30 minutes or so, maybe. I'll give you a holler. Steve, have a good night, and nice to meet you. Make your acquaintance. KR8MRN4ZLK.
You get my call sign right. N4ZLK, 73KR8MR.
And K4JCA.
MRK3HA. Yeah, she had to run and get my medical stuff for me. I just got out of the shower, so. But I'll be back on the radio here in a few minutes, and I'll be back on there.
know, I'm going to have to go check and see if our water's back on yet. You know, like I said, they ran into the water main with their backhoe today over about a block away from my house out on Locust Hill Road, 290.
See, I know I had plenty of water here, so I'm going to finish getting ready. I got to get my medication and my bandage on my side here and put my oxygen back on. So, all righty, Steve, 73, KA3JCA.
Okay, if you see some guy with a bucket outside on your hose bib tonight, don't shoot.
Sir, Bravo.
Rex B, is that you?
K4XB.
Or were you? I wasn't sure if that you were K4XB or if you're calling K4XB. Not being smart, I'm sorry.
No, I'm troubleshooting the issue I had with my Starlink internet interfering with my receive of my on my 2 meter rig, and I ran a coax from a secondary antenna back into my shack and trying it out to see if I was sounding okay on it. Can't work.
Uncopyable right now. There's some fry going on constant in the background, but I suspect that's just how far you are from the repeater.
Yes, sir, far anything.
It sounds the same to me. Again, I can understand 100% what you're saying. It's just that there's like a hiss in the background, almost like if you're in like a traffic area or something and you're near a street and there's cars going by or something. You know, I can hear some fry, and that's got to do with, you know, how well you're getting into the repeater. But as far as your voice quality and everything else, it all sounds fine.
Well, I appreciate it. This will suffice until I can get my antenna moved, I guess. And they can catch your call. But again, thank you very much. This is K4XB. The name here is Tommy.
Here is Steve Kramer, KR8MR. I used to live in Cincinnati, so I was up in 8 land for a while. Well, my whole life up until 10 years ago. Hey, I got a question. Is Tennessee, is that also a 4 land, or is that 4?
I'm not positive on that one, but I think so.
Yeah, it almost has to be, because I think Georgia is, and I know Kentucky is. When I was in Cincinnati, we had 4, 8, and 9 all around us, because Indiana was 9, and I think Michigan was 8, West Virginia was 8, Kentucky was 4.
Amazing when you've got the state lines that close together, and thankfully we most of the folks here are 4s, but we've got actually got a one of the officers in our club is WR8RW. He's from up there in the north somewheres. I don't exactly know where he's from, but he kept his 8, and people get used to it, but it just makes it more interesting. K4XB.
As you said, officers in our club, you reminded me. There's a club meeting going on in Greer right now at the Woodmen of the World, I think, headquarters down, or, you know, lodge down there. And I meant to go to that, but I've been so busy today I never really had a chance to.
Yeah, I live in southern Greenville County, but I work in Greenwood, which is about 30 miles south of here. And since I work down there, well, I used to have to drive back and forth every day, but working from home mostly now. But I'm in that club down there, and I'm one of the officers there, so we've got a ham fest coming up Saturday, in fact, down in Greenwood. So we're going to be doing some last-minute plans, I guess, tomorrow. Anyhow... Again, appreciate you coming back to me, and I'm going to go find my phone because apparently somebody just tried to call me, K4XB.
Hey, tell me your first name again before you go away, Carrie, tomorrow.
This is Tango Oscar Mike Yankee, and again, I'm K4XB, Southern Greenville County.
Nice talking to you. Nice to make your acquaintance. Go grab your phone call. 73 Canada Mark.